It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, looking dapper today on the ones and twos.
God, he is.
What's up, fellas?
Handsome. Hey, man. He looks good. A lot better than – it was a bad weekend for officiating all over football. My goodness.
It was. Woo. It was. But you know what? We're not an excuse-making show, so we're not going to do that.
No, not at all.
Titans lose yesterday at Nissan Stadium, 23-13 to the Minnesota Vikings. So we will react to that. Brett Kern will join us as usual at 10 o'clock today. We'll get his reaction to that. But, you know, we do need to – you know, we'll have to talk about the officiating because, you know, there was a point in the game where – Brian Callahan was incensed, and he had every right to be. It was a terrible, 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 terrible call. And I just, you know, it's part of the conversation nowadays.
I get throwing the flag, but that with cameras and technology, though, everything should be reviewable. Everything should be reviewable. That was not a hit in the end zone, a targeting or unsportsmanlike conduct. That is not. If you're going to start calling that, then I'm telling you, add the F to NFL, National Flag Football League,
and
go that way and not do it because that's off. These plays should all be reviewable. You watched the game last night for which was a great game, Chargers and
it
Bengals.
Was, yeah.
The Bengals defensive end who grabbed Herbert by the shoulder pad and they called a horse, which was not. Even when your TV official review guy comes on, whatever that guy's called, referee guy in the booth is saying,
I call him the TV ref.
TV, there you go. Thank you. Is saying that's a bad call because they'll defend their brothers, and I get it.
Sure.
When he's saying that's a bad call, that's a bad call. But again, I have no problem calling throwing the flag. Review it. Everything should be reviewable now if it's that bad or that big of a moment in the game. Everything should.
Yeah.
I just don't get it, man.
Well, look, the NFL is going to be forced to do something that they don't want to do. And that is put the sky judge or whatever and look at every call. Now, you know, I don't want to get into a point where they're reviewing every penalty that's out there, like actually stopping the game to review it. But they should have a sky judge or at the, you know, their command center in New York or whatever. And somebody goes like, yeah, you may that's wrong. And buzz in and go, hey, you missed that one. That's wrong. Change it.
I think it's got to be on penalties like that. It can't be like, did you false start?
Yeah. It, you know, hold.
I get spotting of the ball.
Right.
I get that. I mean, we could do a whole show on what you should and shouldn't do. But I get throwing the flag. I don't get reviewing that. But was it a critical moment in the game? Yeah, would the Titans have won? Probably not because that offensive line is so bad. And I know you got a question. But I just got to get this off my chest.
Well, I have another thought on this subject.
Go ahead.
But,
No. Let's keep it on the same.
Well, I'm just going to – what I was going to say is they need to do something because you know what's going to happen this week, right? Brian Callahan's going to get a letter from the NFL saying, hey, we got this wrong. We apologize. And it's like, what is that supposed to do? Right. But that's what's going to happen. The Titans are going to get a letter
right.
saying, like, hey, we're sorry. You know, we missed that one. And they missed a few others. I mean, you know, there were a couple on Prince that were right, and then there were, I think, was one that probably wasn't. And you could go and dissect, you know, every game yesterday and probably find missed calls. And, you know, I think the whole, well, they're human, they make mistakes excuse is gone.
Oh, I totally agree.
Because we live in a world where you have the technology, you can get it right.
Yeah.
So use it and get it right. All the other sports have figured it out. I mean, look, you know, you got camera angles, you have
– Preach.
You can put a sensor on the damn football
Preach.
To know keep, where
keep
it goes.
I'm with you, man.
I mean,
I'm
so, like,
you.
Let's just stop this. And here's the other thing. The NFL sits there and defends these guys. They're not even full-time employees because you won't do that.
Right. I'm with you. Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. Those are great points. And with the look, they did it to themselves. With technology, you've got all the technology now to review everything you want to do, but not be able to review certain hits like that yesterday is just ridiculous.
Yeah,
just
and
absolutely ridiculous.
And to your point on like Terry McCauley's the NBC ref, and then Gene Steratore for CBS, and I think it's John Hussey for
you Hussey
for
Fox.
ESPN, okay. And then Dean Blandino and the original one. I can't remember his name for Fox. But anyway.
What is that guy's name? Glasses.
Yeah, I mean, he was the first one.
Yeah.
Why can I not? Mike Pereira.
Okay, that's it.
I think McCauley and Gene Steratore are the two best.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
And they're Steratore yesterday did, like, he wasn't defending his buddies during that call. He was like, they absolutely got that one wrong.
Yeah, and it happens, but the technology can get it done. I got to say, I tweeted it yesterday.
Yeah, get this off your chest here.
Skoronski's terrible.
Yeah, he's not good.
I mean, he is. Look, I don't want to sit here for 2 hours and just degrade somebody, but nice guy, but he's just not good, Chase. He got abused yesterday, got pushed back so many times. It's just like, what did they see in him in 2023? What did they see in him to take him? And I don't hop on the Jared Stillman train, but he's right on this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad. I mean, and that whole line, Latham is going to be good. I'm telling you. He's going to be good. But from guard over the other four, holy hell.
So it's funny. Jared went on a rant probably about a month or two ago saying that Skoronski has fat feet. And I kind of laughed at it like everybody else did. But what I've done since then is I've kind of watched his feet. And he does. He has big feet. And he can't move them. Like, he can't. And, you know, the one thing that we've heard offensive line people like Trevor Maddich or whatever say is that if you move in, and Walt said this the other day, like, if you move inside, it is a little quicker. You got to be quicker.
Yeah.
And he's not. He's not quick enough. Now, I don't know if moving him to right tackle will really solve anything because I don't think he has the arms. I just think, you know, he doesn't have that. And so I don't know what they do. And I mean, that was the 11th overall pick.
He's just not good. He's just not a good player. And there's no aggressiveness to him. There's no meanness. There's no dry. I watched a lot of him yesterday. When I went to the two games, I spent a lot of time watching him. And it's just not there, man. But I'm telling you, Will Levis, he's got something. You could call him there. You could berate me. I don't care. The guy's got something. And you go drop back to pass with that line and receivers who don't catch balls. I'm telling you, man, Levis ain't the problem. In fact, he's probably helping this team move the team forward.
So there were – I watched two quarterbacks yesterday that have one of the same problems. But there's a big difference in the two quarterbacks. One is Will Levis and one is Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow can mask some of the things that they have with their offensive line. Because Cincinnati's offensive line is probably just as bad as the Titans. It's terrible.
Yeah.
And he's getting beat up and hit and everything, and you can just see in his face how miserable he is with that. But the difference is, I take nothing away from NWI. We all love NWI. Will Levis has Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and Joe Burrow has Jamar Chase.
And T. Higgins.
And Will Levis has Calvin Ridley, and Joe Burrow has T. Higgins. I mean, so he's able to mask some of those things.
Yeah.
And obviously Joe Burrow's a better quarterback, just in general. But I sat there and I watched Levis yesterday, and it kind of put the last 2 weeks together. And those are the two best games he's played consecutively in his career, in my opinion. Now, I know you'll say, well, his first game he had four touchdowns. Okay. Nobody knew what he was going to do and all that stuff. I think consistently these last two games have been the best of his career. I think sitting and watching and learning was good for him. And it goes back to, I don't know why they don't sit these guys longer and let them learn. But, you know, what do I know?
Yep.
And so I do think you see he's seeing things differently. And I'm saying this, and I hope I'm right. I think it's slowing down for him a little bit.
Okay.
And maybe sitting back and watching help that process for it to slow down a little bit. But
I'm with you.
But here's the thing. They got to fix around him.
Because, well, we know that.
Because he's not good enough to make the team better just on him alone. He's not Joe Burrow. And look, Joe, they lost. Cincinnati lost last night. So, you know,
not Joe Burrow's fault.
No, not Joe Burrow's fault at all. But my point is, you know, you're going to have to build around him, which, again, some of you are not going to like what I'm about to say. Wasn't that Ryan Tannehill? I mean, isn't that what we always talked about with Tannehill, that you have to be really, really good around him? And if you are, he can take you places.
Well, I think that's with any quarterback. I mean, Brad Johnson,
well, there's
0-2.
Some. Yeah.
Dilfer, 2000. I mean, there are some quarterbacks, if you elevate their game to play to the people around them. Levis ain't the problem. I mean, that offensive line is awful. It's absolutely – and the evaluation – how did Nicholas Petit-Frere get in the NFL?
I don't know.
No problem. I don't know you. I don't know him. But you're not good. You're not a good player. Were you drunk because he's Ohio State? Like, he's Ohio State. He's got to be good.
I don't know.
That's the problem with some Alabama players. Like, well, he played at Alabama. He's got to be good. If he's so good, why isn't A.J. McCarron an all-pro quarterback?
Because here's what people don't want to accept. And when I say people, I mean NFL executives and coaches. Head coaches in college football don't give a rat's ass about what that guy's going to do in the NFL.
No.
They don't care. They don't develop them for the league. They may say they do. They don't. They don't care.
Right.
They care about one thing: winning in college football, winning a national championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now they'll, you know,
as they should.
But I mean, they'll say the right things. Of yeah, we want to prepare them for next and all that stuff. No, you don't. They don't care. They want them to be good in their system that works in college football. You know, Nick Saban coached and developed his players to play in the SEC and the SEC only. That's it.
That's it. You're right. I have a solution.
Okay.
In April of 24, what the Titans should do in the draft. I got a solution. After watching a lot of football yesterday, I got a solution for the Titans, and I wish they'd call me.
Okay.
Was it Brinker and Rand?
Well, hey, just like Jeff Fisher, they have your number. They can call you.
I don't have answers, baby. I got solutions.
Okay. We'll take your reaction to the Titans losing. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got more ahead here on Chasing Big Joe on this Monday. 1025, 1063, the game.
What was your view, what were your thoughts on the call to Brown there, and what feedback did you get from the official in that situation?
On which one? On the fourth down?
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing. So.
What did you see?
You
saw the replay of it?
On the play? Right. I saw a hit that was leveled with the shoulder pads to the body. That's what I saw.
It's Brian Callahan talking about that Mike Brown play that was called unsportsmanlike. I'm with the head coach on that, and I applaud him for being incensed. We had one texter, Carson said, I'm glad that Callahan got flagged for his reaction, but if he wants to make a statement and to keep the locker room, he should do something like that. I mean, you can be glad he got flagged. I guess by the rule book he should have, but I'd have been just as pissed off as he was. So,
oh,
I applaud. I'm actually, the thing is, I was glad to see that. Because, you know, and I like his transparency. I like Brian Callahan. You know, I'm not in the fire Callahan group at all. I do think there have been times he's been in over his head. But that yesterday showed me, okay, this is a dude that cares about his team. He cares. And that earned some points with me. So I was okay with that. Whether you get flagged or not.
Like, sure.
That's like the basketball coach that – you know, can read his team and knows that they need a spark, and he gets a tech, and he does it on purpose. Like that I was okay with.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. I mean, again, I got no problem with the flag because you err on the side of caution. But my goodness, review that and then get pissed off. I have no problem with that at all.
All right, you have a solution.
Yeah, so I'm watching Ladd McConkey last night, right? And I see Brock Bowers run over the Dolphins yesterday. Ricky Pearsall for the 49ers is doing great, played at Florida. Ladd McConkey's open every – how is he open every single time down the field? Every single time he's open.
Georgia receivers, man.
So here's the deal. You know, the Dylan Raiden second-round pick in 2020 or 2021, whatever it was an awful pick, right? Why not take a chance? And look, you're going to give me the SEC bias and the homerism. That's fine. But these guys are performing at high levels on Sunday. Next year, use your entire draft to take SEC players. that you know and see every day. Don't go try to get, you know, Bill Smith from Utah State, who ran a 4.32. Give me Nick Frazier, who is a 6'1", 235-pound linebacker at Missouri that will knock your block off. Yeah, he runs a 4.58. Who cares? These guys could and should be part of the Titans drafting going forward. Why not?
Yeah.
They had 155 guys drafted in the last, like, 5 years, whatever. And a large majority of them are playing at a high level in the NFL. Just draft these guys.
Well, I hate to do this, but I will say they did draft a offensive lineman from Georgia in the first round a few years ago.
No, I'm with you.
That didn't work out too well.
There was, and I blame Sam Pittman's big ass for that. If I'm a Titans fan, I would boo Sam Pittman to the end of time.
He's going to probably be unemployed.
We said that last year, and he gave him another year. Sam Pittman told Vrabel and John Robinson, this guy's solid. This guy's good. Look at him.
Wow.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
He lied.
You're not going to hit all of them, right? We understand that. But I'm telling you, when I'm seeing McConkey and Xavier Leggett running around, I'm
dude,
like –
dude, you're preaching to the choir.
Right.
Because I begged. You asked Teron Davenport, everybody. I was like, please, Xavier Leggett, please get him. Please get him. He'll probably be there in the second round. He wasn't. But, like, please get him. Please figure out a way to get him. I would love him with this team. And, you know, Carolina sucks, but – guess who's played well? Xavier Leggett.
Yeah, right.
And what would you think? What would you say Ladd McConkey's stat line is right now?
That he's open every time? I don't know.
43 catches, 615 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's averaging 14.3 yards a catch.
I watched him last night.
He had
a
123 yesterday.
And I watched him last week. I mean, he's open every single time. And they know about these guys. That's the problem. Taking a Dylan Raditz in the second round was just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Raditz, Skoronski. I mean, Ollie, come on.
Raditz has turned into a serviceable guard.
It's terrible. Stop it.
But he's not a second-round pick.
Stop it.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying like that. It's just like Corey Davis. Corey Davis was a okay receiver, but he wasn't the fifth overall pick.
Yeah, right. If he's taken in the fifth round, it's like, not bad.
If he was taken in the third round, like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, and you could text and call me whatever you want to, but I'm telling you.
I'm going to call you Joe.
Your stupid analytics back up these guys. I call them stats. I call them performances. I call them eye test. These guys are just performing at a high level, man.
Here's a really good question from Donovan on our text line, because I haven't brought this up yet, but I've kind of been thinking it too.
All right.
Should Brian Callahan fire his father? It's the weakest part of the whole team.
Can you imagine how that goes?
Yeah.
Now, look.
Dad, can you come here for a second?
You had an amazing father.
I did.
I had a piece of crap father. I'd fire my father. I would have never hired my dad at all. Ever, 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 ever. That is a great question.
So I'm going to say no, and here's why. They inherited – you can put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig.
But Leroy Watson.
Well, Leroy Watson, okay, they brought him in. They drafted J.C. Latham. Latham's good.
Latham's going to be a great
player. Latham's fine. Skoronski, I think he's tried. He's trying. Look, and my argument is he turned Dylan Raidens into crap, or from crap into serviceable.
Right. You know what I see Skoronski? He's like Ralph Wiggum sitting on the back of the bus. Like, me blocky. me miss linebacker.
Not very well.
Right?
But, I don't think it's him. I think it's the pieces that he has. Now, you know, like, because you know this, the offensive line is built really on two things, the bookends.
Yeah.
If you have two solid tackles – then you can kind of build within and get. And you got to have a good center, but I think that Cushenberry's decent. I just don't think he's had a lot of help around him.
What was the line in 19? It was Conklin, Lawan, Saffold was next to whom? Was he the right guard?
Saffold was the left guard.
Left guard. Who was the right guard? Nate Davis.
Nate Davis. Yeah.
Okay, and then Ben Jones at center.
Yeah.
I mean that's
pretty good.
You got a couple of psychos on there.
Yeah,
you got a silent giant in Roger Saffold. I mean, that guy was just mean.
I can tell you what I would do, and you and I have talked about this, and you've said this too, so I don't mean to steal your thunder. But if he becomes available, I'd call Amy and go, I need a blank check, and I'd give it to Trey Smith.
Yeah.
Like I would call Trey. I would do whatever I could to get Trey Smith here. And look, he might be available because Kansas City's had a, I mean, they eventually, I know the cap's not real according to Jared, but like you do have to work within
sure you do
to an extent.
Well, so. And it's sad because he should have been a Titan, sixth rounder. I'm going to beat the drum on Juwan Jennings and Trey Smith. And not because they went to Tennessee, because they're damn good players and they were taken so late in the draft.
Yeah.
That was it.
But, I mean, that's and look, I would look at drafting a center, too, because Cushenberry, that's a pretty significant injury, you know, for a center. He's going to be out a while.
Go all offense in this draft.
Yeah.
Seven picks. Give me all offense. Out from the SEC.
So, herein lies the next question. And this is our question to the audience here. At this point, you know, everybody was done with Levis at the beginning of the year, including me. Like, it's like, we've seen enough. I don't think he's it.
Right.
Now that he sat for a little bit and he came back, I am seeing improvement. Now, I'm not ready to anoint him and say he's Peyton Manning and all is, you know, forgiven. But I think now I'm seeing, okay, do you, if you get a top two pick, are you better off not taking the quarterback, trading back, trading down, acquiring a crap ton of draft picks, and building around him? Would that be the smarter play at this point?
I'm with you. Look, man, what do you know you're going to get with Cam Ward?
You have no idea. I don't think this quarterback class is very good.
I mean, and
I think we're all enamored with Shedeur Sanders because he's just a freak athlete, and he is. And I take nothing. I think Colorado is a team to look out for. They're getting hot at the right time, you know. But let's see him against an SEC team and you know in the playoff or whatever. But I think he's a really, really, really freaking good college quarterback. I don't think he's an NFL quarterback. And if I get proven wrong, I'll admit it. But
I think we need to stop evaluating quarterbacks. We do because nobody knows.
Yeah, we don't know.
You know, Anthony Richardson, he's the next thing.
No, he's not. And look, I will subscribe to the notion that a team can ruin a guy. That if a team doesn't know how to coach a guy right, they can wreck him. And I think Indianapolis has done that. But I didn't believe in him coming out of Florida.
No. And plus, there's chaos. I mean, Daniel Jones is getting benched. Tommy DeVito. Yeah. He's done. They want Caleb Williams out in Chicago. I mean, it's just a never-ending cycle of negativity and bad play.
Look, I'm shocked that I haven't seen breaking news because, like, I think Doug Peterson or Eberflus are getting fired today. They should. One of them should.
I don't know about Eberflus.
Oh,
I wouldn't have hired him because of his name. It's just not a football name.
I've gotten the skinny from Porth and all the talk up there. Yeah. Like, it's not good.
Well, of course it's not good. But again, I think Levis is not the problem. That you put Levis behind that Chargers offensive line. I mean, Herbert had weeks to throw the ball last week.
Put him behind
night.
Detroit's offensive line.
Yeah, any quarterback's going to flourish. I mean, this offensive line for the Titans is so bad. I mean, just give me Latham. And look, here's somebody is like, well, the Nicholas Petit-Frere. Well, you're not going to take a player from Ohio State. Why should I? Yeah. He showed me he's not. I mean, that guy was supposed to be really good. He's like, good. Now, you can do the same argument for a Georgia player coming out.
Sure.
But the Isaiah Wilson thing was a lot different than Nicholas Petit-Frere.
Yeah.
By the way, how's his fantasy thing going that he's doing? Any some fantasy analysis guy?
I don't know.
I'd like to call him.
If he hit his parlays.
I'd like to call him and say, hey, Nicholas, what about that awful right tackle for the Titans who can't block his ass out of a paper bag? I don't know who that is.
I hear the late, great Floyd Reese. We don't have a right tackle. I do hear it.
And see,
that's true.
This is what's happened. I want to come here and have fun and be jovial. And because they're just the evaluated talent is so bad for this team. I mean, there was never a chance they're winning that game yesterday. And by the way, my brother went to the game yesterday. He's been to every game for like the last 20 years. He said yesterday was the game, and we talk about it every week, was the overtaken by the visiting team. He said there were so – that's the one
– I heard the skull chant.
That was – he goes, that's the top one. He goes, the Packers, the Raiders, the Cowboys come to town to get all that. But that was number one.
Yeah.
He's been there.
Oh, yeah. No, I believe it. A lot of you want to weigh in on this. 615-737-1025. Do you stick with Will Levis? Do you build around him? Have you seen enough at this point to change your mind from maybe earlier in the year? That's how we roll as a fan base sometimes. 615-737-1025 is Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, with a buzz, as always, about great service. A lot of you weighing in on our Will Levis and Titans conversation. 615-737-1025. 2518 says, just admit it, Brand sucks. I mean, look, you've heard I have said it, and I think you're kind of with me, but Jared and I have been the two on this station that have definitively said at the end of the year he needs to go.
Who I want to know who picks Skoronski. I want to know. I mean, if you're the GM, the GM picks the
player.
It's players,
on
right?
him.
Right.
I mean, yeah, because here's the deal. Like, terrible. I feel, you know, everybody want to be like, oh, it was Vrabel. I don't think so. I think he wanted it to be. But she said no. Because remember, if you go back and you listen to Vrabel talk about certain players, you knew who he liked and who he didn't.
Very evident.
He didn't hold back. And I never really felt like he was 100% on board with Will Levis either. And I think she felt the same way, and that's why she moved on. So I'm going to say it was on Skoronski, or it was Skoronski was on Rand.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to say.
But
everybody wants to make this excuse. Oh, well, this is his first year truly as GM. No, it's not.
He's been in the league evaluating players for a long time. Yeah. I just want to know who picks Skoronski, because I'm telling you, watch him last 2 weeks, he's terrible. He's absolutely terrible. God, I sound like Jared, but he's so right. He is so right about Skoronski. It's not there. And he's your first round pick.
Yep. I lost track of it. 2916. Man, Joe on his Facebook account always preaches positivity and lifting others up and encouragement, etc. But when he gets on the radio, he's so damn negative. I'm texting this as if I'm Paul Kuharsky.
he's right. But sometimes you have to have brutal honesty.
Yeah.
You have to be. And I look, and Chase and I have talked about this. We would love nothing better than that football team to go 17-0 and go to the Super Bowl. It's great for the city. It's great for the fans. You guys deserve it. I get all that. But you're 2-8 and you're terrible, and there's no signs of getting any better. And it's frustrating. Yeah, it drives callers to a talk radio. We love that. I get all that. But, man, sometimes it's like enough is enough. Here's a stat for you, Chase. I know we got a call real quick. I'm sorry. This franchise, in the last 21 seasons, how many playoff games have they won?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, they haven't won.
How many playoff games?
Well, they did. They did. Hang on. Just give me a second. They won two in 2020.
2019.
Or 2019. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, 2019. Haven't won one since. And that was the first since 2000.
They've won three.
Yeah.
They beat the Chiefs in 17.
Yep.
Over there.
Yeah,
and they beat
right.
the Patriots and the Ravens in 19. That's it. Since 2004, they have won three playoff games.
Yes. Yeah.
That's, okay. it. That's it. So it's 20 years of almost incompetence. They got bounced in 20 by the Ravens because who's the guy, the safety that ran his mouth and still couldn't chase Lamar? Vaccaro? Get that guy to town. Get that guy to town. Never come back. Which he's gone, thank God. And then 21, they lost.
I was about to say, I don't think he's here anymore.
At 21, they lost to the Bengals. So they've won three playoff games in 21 seasons. That's awful. And they ain't winning one this year. So make it 22.
Because they're not going to qualify. 615-737-1025. Trey wants to weigh in. Trey, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing today, guys?
Good.
Hey, that's my opinion. I think that when Ryan was playing, Ryan Tannehill, he did the best he could with what he had. and, you know, the right side still wasn't as good. But I just, you know, I just think that Rand and Miss Amy don't know what they're doing, and they're just putting quarterbacks in there, and, you know, it's not going to get better till they eliminate going on the field, calling the players, and letting coach do what he do, and maybe the situation will get better. And what y'all think? And y'all have a good day.
Thanks, Trey. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's been well documented on this show that she meddles too much. I like Amy, but she meddles too much. Yeah. She's gotten too involved. Mm-hmm. You know, I like Rand the person. I don't think Rand Carthon is a good general manager. I just don't. He has not done a good job.
No.
And – you know, I do not, you know, and I am rarely, I am not the fire somebody, you know, like if things go bad in six games, oh, fire them. I'm not that person. But I think I've seen enough in the last 2 years to tell me that he's not the guy to pull you out of this. And quite frankly, they need to do something that the NFL doesn't want to do anymore, and that is go give a GM that has had a, you know, has been through it once, go give them a second chance and hire somebody with experience.
Why?
And for whatever reason, you know, we retread coaches like no other, you know, but like Doug Peterson, who's going to get fired in Jacksonville. Now, obviously he won a Super Bowl. He got a second shot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he gets a third. Vrabel's going to get a second shot.
As
he should. All these coaches get second opportunities, but GMs don't. And that makes no sense to me.
Well, if you continue picking bad players, I don't want you.
Right.
I don't want you as my GM.
But I'll use the one we know. John Robinson had some really, really bad drafts. His last two drafts were terrible,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Well, he also had some pretty good drafts. And we just forget about them.
Let me ask you this. Give me the perfect draft throughout NFL.
I don't think that exists.
Thank you.
So that's my point. You just made my point for me.
That's right.
That's why, like, John Robinson should get another shot. He won't, but he should.
What's the Steelers draft of 70 or 71? They had, like, five Pro Bowlers. That's not happening anymore.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. If you get two quality players out of a draft, you're doing great. I mean, right. you're doing really good.
You got to bet. It's baseball. If you bat 300, you're a good one. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
Don't bring up baseball.
Well, but I'm right.
Oh, you are right.
So –
Also about firing people. Look, you know when you know, right?
Yeah.
I don't need to give you 4 years to know that you're incompetent. I don't. I can tell after a year if you're not getting the job done, right? So I don't like giving somebody 3 years. That's gone now, man. It's that the Dan Campbell 3-13-1, wherever he was, or the first year, or 3-12-1, whatever it was. It's not happening anymore, man. But they saw something in Dan Campbell with the Lions that, like, all right, it was his second chance, you know, because he was with the Dolphins and they got rid of him for Adam Gase.
Yep.
And then so they bounced him. And then, but you see something. Tell me what you see in this 2024 Tennessee Titans team. And I'm not advocating Brian Callen getting fired, but tell me what you see in this 24 team that the Lions saw in 21 in Dan Campbell.
So here was the big thing with Dan Campbell. The players played for him. They weren't good. It wasn't a good team, but they didn't give up. They played for him. And I will say this. You can criticize this Titans team all you want. It's a bad team. They're not a good team.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to question the effort.
No. No.
Because, like, I watched that game yesterday.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I'm like, that's a team that's trying. Mm-hmm. They're trying. They're not good. But they're trying. And, you know, you change a couple plays here and there.
Right.
You could have had a different result. I mean, that 98-yard touchdown, like I was – my mom and I had gone out for a minute, and we were in Dick's Sporting Goods, and they had the game on. And the guy working was like, he just threw a 98-yard touchdown pass. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Now, I get it, the DB fell or whatever.
Doesn't matter.
But I mean, you made the play.
Right.
You made the play.
They should run that play all the time like that.
And I was like, was that to Ridley? And then I go, oh, it was NWI. Of course it was.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Who was the – this is how bad that they throw guys in and out. Who had the bad call in the end zone? What DB was that?
Oh, Baker.
Was that what it was?
I think so.
So
they had just praised him, and then he did that.
Yeah, and then there was another play later in the game, and they cut to he messed up. He cut to him, and he was mad. And I'm like, that's what I want to see. I want to see that from 22 guys. I've seen it from Levis. Sweat had a hell of a game yesterday. He was disrupting things. They couldn't block him. He was going side to side, making things happen. But there are some things there to be positive about. But until you fix some major things, offensive line, your receivers aren't that good. Ridley's okay, whatever. I mean, you need a good tight end down the field.
I know nobody wants to hear the phrase I'm about to use because it's going to make some people shudder a little bit.
Okay.
But they do have guys with five-star hearts. I mean, they really do.
Will you, Dr. Crane, will you cut his mic for an hour? I cannot believe he just said that.
You're welcome.
Oh, my Lord.
And they got to build this brick by brick. Oh,
my God. Five-star hearts. I don't know who your boss is, but I'm going to call them, and I'm going to take the rest of the week off because of that comment.
That's fine.
All right.
You know what? I'll do you one, but I'll just leave. I'll leave on Wednesday and go to Florida.
Promise?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll just do that. How about that?
I won't, but my title says I can.
615-737-1025. We'll take more of your reaction next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. This week's Nashville Best Deal is Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall. Place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Enjoy traditional German beer, brats, giant pretzels, and more in their expansive beer hall and garden. Just head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, taking your reaction to the Titans, 615-737-1025. They lose yesterday to the Minnesota Vikings 23-13 at Nissan Stadium. And now I think what I've seen the latest is they are to pick second in the draft right now. So
okay.
There you go.
Well, and can we, again, stop the whole tanking stuff? It's such a stupid topic that we devote way too much time to about. You think Jarvis Brownlee's tanking?
No, I think Jarvis Brownlee is what I'm talking about. Like a guy that's playing his ass off, and you know, he is what he is. He's a fifth round pick, but
he's an example of other guys.
Brownlee and like these guys, they're on the field, they're giving it all they got. Because you know what? They want to keep a job. And I respect that.
And they're playing in the National Football League. I mean, it's something else. So stop the tanking nonsense. I mean, it tanked really good for the Colts to get Anthony Richardson. That's working out well good, but that's the thing, man. The message I always give is just don't quit. And anything in life, just don't quit. And I think that there are some bright spots on this football team. Look, we all know they're not a good football team. They got a long way to go. But seasons flip in a year, man.
Yeah.
98 Rams, terrible. 99 Rams, what'd they do? Won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that happens to the Titans next year. But there are examples where you can turn it around if you get the right pieces in place. But you got to get the right pieces in place, and you have the right people to pick the right pieces, put them in the right place. It's a process. So I think Will Levis is not the problem. I think only problem with Will Levis, he throws off his back foot too much, and that drives me crazy. Every quarterback throws going forward.
Yeah, and 2298 says, you guys are falling into the Levis trap again. The deep ball is all he has, and the Vikings were dumb enough to let it happen. Look at last year, his success depended on the deep ball. I am not saying he is the franchise guy. But what I'm saying is this team has so many problems, and it starts with the offensive line. Are you better off for the future of the team to just stick with him for now? You can still go sign somebody. If Darnold's available next year and you think you could sign Sam Darnold and you think he's an upgrade, then go sign Sam Darnold. My point is, if you have the first or the second pick and can trade back and get a bunch of draft picks, not only for this year but for next year and the years after, to build your team, then I say you do that.
Yeah.
Rather than banking everything you got on Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward.
I've told you this, who I think the greatest quarterback who ever played is, right? Dan Marino.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. I didn't win a Super Bowl. I get all that. Guess what Dan Marino's completion percentage was throughout his career? Take a guess.
What is?
Completion percentage throughout his career.
68.
59%.
Wow.
All right? So you're going to make bad throws.
Sure.
Levis makes bad throws. But give me a guy who can throw a deep ball, that can take a hit. Yeah, I'll fall into this trap. Who's better right now that you're going to get? Who's better? Cam Ward? How do you know he's better? Give me the guy who's been through the fire.
Yeah.
Right now.
I agree.
Again, that offensive line is terrible. You have no time to do anything. So give him some time and do this. I don't know what you're going to do and find anything better. I don't know. If I fall into a trap, fine. I'll fall into the trap. But tell me who's better. It ain't Sam Darnold. I don't think Sam Darnold's better.
No, but Sam Darnold is – you should have watched the Vikings yesterday, and that's what I'm talking about. You have an offensive line. You have good receivers. You have a good defense. They've built all that up, and then they've plugged Sam Darnold in, and look what they're doing.
Do you think
that's what happens if you take an average quarterback and you put him on a good team?
Right.
And that's essentially what you have right now. But you have to get the good team part first.
Right.
Like I don't think this team is capable of, because one, I don't think that guy exists in this draft. You know, so I just don't think he does. And so that's why I'm of the you know, in the boat of you get as many draft picks as possible, you build the rest of the team up, starting with the offensive line. Like, if they use their first three picks on the offensive line, you're not going to hear me complain.
No, not at all.
You know, so, like, you 100%. Do that, you build an offensive line, you get some receivers, you get a damn tight end. They haven't had a capable tight end in a long time. You go get a tight end and then, you know, keep kind of building on defense, too. They got some building blocks on defense already.
Right.
You know, the secondary still needs work because they keep, you know, getting hurt guys.
Well, not only this, is it Will Levis's fault that when Addison caught the pass across the middle, four guys took bad angles?
No.
Is that Will Levis's fault? Is it Will Levis's fault that bonehead Kenneth Murray shoved Sam Darnold out of bounds for 15 yards? Is that Will Levis's fault?
No.
That's stupid plays. Some of that's bad coaching. The angle part drives me insane. Why are you taking bad angles in the secondary? You practice that all the time. I don't get it. It's not Will Levis's fault. So, look, they might go 2 and 15.
It's all about the angles, man.
Rest of the way, that's fine. But at some point, I talked to coaches, college coaches all weekend. You know, I spent a lot of time with them this weekend. And they're like, why do you guys want to fire people all the time? It's all right. Firing doesn't do – you keep firing, doesn't do anything, right? Yeah, some of those are warranted. But you can't keep firing people left and right. You just can't keep doing that.
I agree with that. But I also feel like the guy picking the players and evaluating the players is not doing a good job.
Exactly.
That's my thing. Al, what's up?
Good morning. I'm glad to be able to talk to you. I'm a longtime football follower, and I'm kind of along the lines with you. For history, we had Jim Finks go from the Vikings to the Bears to the Saints. And then Bobby Bethard went from the Redskins, or now the Commanders, to San Diego. And Bill Polian, he went from Buffalo to Charlotte, and then he went to Indianapolis. So let's get somebody in there that's been through the fire, as you said, calling the shots, and have someone in the building say, let this guy operate and just get out of his way. Thank you.
Thanks, Al. Appreciate the call. Yeah,
Al.
100%.
Hey, this is for Al. Hit it. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model? Ow, thank you, buddy.
Role model is gone.
All right, thank you.
You can call me Al. Yeah, well done.
Look, you should like Al's call.
I do like Al's call.
It's your point.
It was 100% spot on.
Get somebody with experience. Find those guys. Bobby Bethard left the Redskins and got the Chargers to the Super Bowl in 94. They got beat by the Niners. I get that. But he turned that – Stan Humphries was their damn quarterback and led – they had Natron Means, though, which was good, and got them to the Super Bowl. So, yeah.
That was after Fouts?
Yeah.
Fouts was already gone?
Fouts never made the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Fouts was there 73 through 87 or 88, never made the Super Bowl.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Brett Kern. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and much more. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.